You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
This morning I'm going to move on to a new aspect to the series, Follow Not a Fan, and I'm going to start going through the book of Proverbs. And if you haven't got notes, put up your hand. Someone will get them for you, please. Just put up your hand if you didn't get notes this morning. And the reason I'm giving you notes is as I was preparing and as I was especially doing the introduction today, I just realized that there's an awful lot of insight, information that I'm giving, and too much to put on the screen, too much to try and absorb. But if you can read it as I'm working my way through it, then you're going to get it as it is. And because I'm not as clever as Dale, I will be following my notes. That's an in-joke, isn't it, Dale? Okay, so let's go to Proverbs. I start off by saying, as we continue with the challenge and the theme for the year, being a follower, not just a fan, I now plan to spend some time walking through the book of Proverbs. And the reason for that is going to become evident as we dig deep into this challenging book. But before we do that, let's just have a quick overview of the last two messages that I've preached. The first one, I use the text, Luke 9:23. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And I use that out of Jesus coming to his disciples or meeting the fishermen on the shore and saying, hey, come, follow me. The bit that stood out to me and the bit that has stood out to me as we go through this follower, not just a fan theme, is that it's all about taking up our cross daily. As I've said, that we can be a follower, we can be a follower one day and then it reverts back to being a fan because it just becomes ho-hum in our life. But if we would ask God, if we would seek God, if we'd allow God to minister into our lives every day, if we'd become God conscious every day, the Holy Spirit will show us things that we need to take up daily, that we need to lift up daily, that we need to do daily. And so, being a follower, not just a fan, is not just a theme. It's not just something, well, I'm a follower now. It's an ongoing, living, daily activity that I'm asking of you. The next one was a couple of weeks ago was Ezekiel 47. And again, such a rich passage. There's so much in it. But I didn't take you to all the depths of all the types. I just took you to the progression, I called it. Going deeper. Ankles, knees, waist, and then too deep to swim in. We had a word on the Sunday evening, the encounter night, and it came from Marg, and it was a great word. It was one that I wish I'd thought of when I was preaching the sermon, and that is that the water is the same water, and it comes out of God's throne. And so you might not be up to ankle deep. The encouragement is to do the progression, to go into your ankles. Now, that's not a degree. That's not, well, you're only at your ankles. Because if you're at your ankles and you weren't there before, then you're moving on. And that's a fantastic thing. As Marg indicated in that prophetic word that she gave, it's the same water touching us. And wherever the water is, there is life. There is healing. There is every living thing. But the challenge is, obviously, to get to that point of incredible trust where we put on that life jacket, the Holy Spirit, and we just allow the Holy Spirit to lead into guides. We just lie back and we allow that water, the current of that water, to take us wherever we go. And I would love to think that we've got and get to the point where our trust is just in God, in His Word. You know, there's so many scriptures that ring in my head. They ring in my head because Pastor Oxy continually says to me, what does the Bible say? And I remember right back through Bible college, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Okay, God, if I just put you first, then all things will be added unto you. God, you are my provider. Okay, well, God, if you're my provider, you're my provider. Circumstances might change, but you're still my provider. The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. I know I've got an enemy, but I know, God, that you want me to have life and have it to the full. If there's a robbing in my life, I know who's doing it, etc., etc., etc. So all I'm asking in that passage or that message was just to learn to trust God, to surrender, to lay back in that life jacket and know that wherever the river flows, there is life. I love the fact in that scripture where it says the fruit trees fruit every month. Normally fruit trees only fruit once a year. But when we're in God, there is an abundance. There is an outworking of abundance. So they're the two challenges from the last two messages. And so now let's get into the book of Proverbs. When I finished the Ezekiel 47 message, I left you with a challenge. And the challenge was, would you go home and would you start to use the book of Proverbs as your daily devotion? Would you start to use the date, today's date, 16th, so you would read chapter 16 of Proverbs. And one of the challenges or one of the things I asked is that if you do have children at home or if you are in the family situation, that you would do it as a family. That you would take just a short minute and do it around the meal table. Turn the telly off. Do the things that need to be done to make God's word a focus. You know, it's a fantastic thing when you read the Bible with your children. You know, you can have the Message Bible printed off on a bit of paper. Maybe have the children read one verse themselves around the room. So if you've got five in a family, five verses as you go around. Teaching the kids how to read. Starting to make them comprehend. Helping them with those big words. Starting to get them into the habit of looking at the Bible as something that can instruct them, can teach them. And as the kids get older, start to talk about some of those verses. Well, what does that verse mean? What do you think it's saying to you? So that they start to muse on it, meditate on it. Can I ask you, can I challenge you as we work our way through the book of Proverbs this year now to start to look at this as a devotional book? One chapter for one day every month. Work your way through it, okay? So Proverbs is what we would call one of the wisdom literature. It comes together with Ecclesiastes, with Song of Songs, with Job, and some of the Psalms. It's interesting to note that three of the five wisdom literature are written by Solomon. How many knew that Solomon was not his real name? I learned, and I'm learning so much as I study this thing. Solomon was christened or dedicated or named Jedediah. And Solomon's name Solomon was only there because it was his royal name. Solomon lived 500 years before the seven wise men of Greece, 700 years before the age of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. We read in 1 Kings 4:32 that he wrote approximately 3,000 proverbs. In 1 Kings 4:29 it says he was the wisest person in his day. Chapters 25 through 29, when we get there, were all written by Solomon, but they were put together, compiled by the men of Hezekiah. Important to note that even though I say Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, as with the whole Bible, he did it under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it tells us that God is the author of all scripture. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So all scripture, not just Proverbs, all scripture is profitable in four ways. For doctrine, for what is right, for reproof, for what's not right, for correction, for how to get it right. And for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. And so, as we work our way through the book of Proverbs, I hope that you will start to look at how to walk in a right manner. How to allow the Proverbs that are written there, those wise sayings that are written there, to be a guide to your life, to be a challenge to your life. The book of Proverbs is a book on how to wise up and live. You'll hear that word wise constantly because it's one of the main themes that run through the book of Proverbs. It's a book on lifestyle. I love the Bible. I really do. I love the Bible. I love the way the Bible talks to us. I love the way the Bible feeds us. I love the way the Bible washes me. I love the way the Bible, when it's read, when I meditate on it, when I muse on it, keeps me from sinning. I love the way the Bible is a light and a lamp unto my feet. I love the fact that the Bible is a lifestyle book for today, because God is the same yesterday, today and forever. He never changes. And so as we go through the book of Proverbs, we're going to be challenged. We're going to be looking at verse by verse in regard to how we live life. It's a book of two liners, which if you read it just very quickly, you will think that they are randomly located. However, as I've already found, as I've started to read it as a devotional book and started to meditate and muse on the scripture, that I find that they aren't randomly placed. They might seem to be higgly-piggly everywhere, but every day, every chapter I read as my daily devotion, I'm being challenged on a myriad of things about my life and about the way I live. It's one of those books that you just can't read it. As I've already said, to gain the most out of it, you've got to read it and reread it and reread it and take time to muse on it, to chew the cud, to just keep bringing it up, thinking about it, meditating on it, just allowing it to drip through your mind like that coffee percolator over there, blowing itself up and coming down and just filtering through our mind. Meditate on it, think on it. When you're going for a walk, when you're driving your car, just get one verse, one thing that stood out to you in your reading and muse on it. Think about it. It's God's book on how to live life. It's a book that goes beyond keeping laws. It's a focus on leading an aggressive, dynamic lifestyle. I like that thought, aggressive, dynamic lifestyle. It's not a passive book. It's something that you've got to actually action in your life. It is a dynamic book. It is about lifestyle. It's a book that focuses on proper and improper attitudes. It focuses on our conduct, our characteristics. You'll find that they are referred to in a very concise, succinct, and penetrating way. You've got to remember that when Proverbs was written, there weren't copiers, there weren't printing presses. In fact, that not many people would have had a copy of the Torah themselves. So one of the ways children were instructed was by giving them simple reminders. Reminders that they would memorize, that they would learn. Not just a do's and don'ts around the house, you know, put out the garbage, go and empty the dishwasher. Well, they wouldn't have had a dishwasher, would they? Whatever the case may be, not one with all dots on the fridge or whatever it might be, but reminders of life itself, little sayings. And I'm certain that if you started to think right now about some of the sayings that your parents said, then you would know what I'm talking about. In fact, how often as we get older and have kids ourselves that we find ourselves saying some of the sayings of our parents. A horrible thought, isn't it, that we're getting like our parents. Pastor Oxley used to say to me, Graham, you never escape your parents. And I realize that is true. The thoughts that they have, the sayings that they have are there forever. And that is the case in the book of Proverbs. The word Proverbs means a parable, a comparison or a definition. And if you look at some of the parables, you'll see the Proverbs in them. Proverbs are a very concise, very succinct saying. A parable is a story. Very hard to make a parable, a big story, into a concise saying, but that's what Proverbs does. They are sentences of ethical wisdom or ethical truths. Sentences. Proverbs are short sentences from long experience. Let me say that again, because that's the truth. So often we learn by experience. One of the things that 1 Corinthians 10 says is that the children of Israel didn't learn from experience. They didn't learn from the experience of what the children of Israel went through. They still murmured. They still had unbelief. They still doubted God. These proverbs are short sentences that come from a long experience. They're easy to remember, and they do condense a lot of wisdom in a very short space. This is a thought that I really love. Solomon wrote the Proverbs to his sons. The word "my son" is found 15 times in the first 7 chapters and twice elsewhere. They're used 5 times in the saying of the wise men in Hezekiah and once by Lemuel's mother. And then Solomon says, "my sons," plural, 4 times. So as we read, as we study the book of Proverbs, let's recognize the context. The context is the home. The father teaching the son. And the more you read it, the more you look at these pithy little statements, the more you're going to realize the incredible training, the incredible instruction the son's got from the father. One of the things that I think we've seen change in our society at the moment is how little parents input their children. In our own school, we notice more and more how we're being pushed to train the children ourselves. In schools today, you know, teachers spend more and more time just trying to get the class quiet, trying to teach manners, because they're not being taught at home. One of our jobs as parents, one of our jobs in the home, is to make certain it is an ongoing training place. And the Proverbs are a fantastic book to use to help you train. One of the things that I will share as we come to some of the passages on training and disciplining our children was when I used to smack my children. I used to actually read, before I did, the Proverbs that talked about discipline, so that my children understood that I was only doing what God told me to do. And if I didn't do it, then God would discipline me. And I know that in doing it that way, you're never going to abuse. It's always going to be in love, because you're always reflecting on what God would have. So we'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. The key word in Proverbs is wisdom. What is the first thing that God created? You might be surprised to know that the Bible tells it was wisdom. You go to Proverbs 8 and read on from chapter 22, verse 22, and you will see that wisdom was there before the beginning. The traditional definition of wisdom, in a worldly sense, is the ability to use knowledge in the right way. Now, I'm sure that many of us know people who have an abundance of knowledge, but when you look at them, how could somebody with so much knowledge, who's so clever, be so dumb in the way they do what they do? They have a lot of data, but they have an incapacity or inability to put into practice. James says, and I pray it regularly before I go into board meetings, before I go to any meeting, if any lack wisdom, let him ask and it will be given liberally. I need wisdom. We all need wisdom. It's not knowledge, it's how to outwork that knowledge. God, I need your wisdom. In Bible, wisdom has a very different meaning. In 1 Corinthians 2 and James 3, it says there is a wisdom in this world. But then it goes on to say, but divine wisdom comes from above. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. The word wisdom occurs 45 times in Proverbs, and it would seem to mean being knowledgeable, experienced, and efficient in their areas of expertise. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs includes practical discernment and sound judgment, mental insight and functional skill. But I think the overriding emphasis is in a moral sense. Upright in our living. And you can only be upright in your living when you have a right relationship with God. So as we go through the book of Proverbs, I want you to know, I want you to think, I want you to remember what I believe is the key verse in Proverbs, Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord, the reverential awe of God, is the beginning of wisdom. I think that I could actually say, without the Lord, you won't have wisdom. We're going to look at a lot of winners and losers throughout this series. And I think a prerequisite is if you don't want to be a loser, then you must find a right relationship with God, because that is the beginning of wisdom. In short, to be wise in the biblical sense, we must begin with a relationship with God. What is your relationship with God like right now? Do you have a reverential awe, respect, fear of Him? Do you know Him as Pastor Hal found Him at the age of 38, 39 as your personal Savior and Lord? Or are you just one that sits here that says, yes, I believe, but you haven't allowed yourself to have a relationship with God? Today, again, the challenge. Get a relationship with God. Allow Him to impact your life. And if you haven't asked Him to be your Savior, then you do that. But let's make certain that we start this series with a desire for a relationship with God. Wisdom in Proverbs is described as eternal. In Proverbs 8, as I said before, He is the creator of all things. Wisdom is the beloved of God in Proverbs 8:30. And in John 1 and Colossians 1, wisdom is to yield your life to Christ and to obey Him. As we study the book of Proverbs, we're going to see how perfect they are. So perfect that they show us how imperfect man's sayings are. Man's sayings are so, or often so, self-contradictory. You know, we have a saying, look before you leap. But then we have another saying that says, he who hesitates is lost. Which one's right? Maybe a man gets no more than he pays for. But then I like this one, the best things in life are free. So which one is right? Or many hands make light work. But then too many cooks spoil the broth. You see, man's sayings, they contradict each other. Yet Solomon's Proverbs are written under divine inspiration of God. They don't contradict each other. You will not find a contradictory proverb. They are perfect in every way, as God is. So, as we continue in this introduction, how do you study a book like Proverbs? As I said at the start, I used to think it was a disorganized jumble. But as I've prepared, as I've studied, as I've listened to commentaries, as I've allowed the Holy Spirit to start to open up my eyes to see how deep the Proverbs are, I'm now finding it to be the opposite. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, Solomon tells us that these dark sayings, because that's what they are, they're dark sayings. It's called dark sayings, and we'll understand a little bit about that next week or next time I preach, in the week after, I think it is. He says that they are set in order. And that order will become clear as you continue to meditate and muse on them. One of the things that you start to see as you study them too is that they are thumbnails of our life. And as I read them, I start to see myself in many of them. Sometimes I'm happy about it, sometimes I'm not that happy about it. But I also start to see others. I can see some of you in the Proverbs. I'm not keeping note, by the way. But if you want to, you can find all the characters of the Bible in these little thumbnails. Again, in that challenge of study, I want to reiterate, let's use it as a daily devotion. Let's use it as an aspect of how the Holy Spirit can challenge us on how we conduct our lives, our attitudes, our lifestyle. Let's get into the Proverbs a little bit now. As we go through Proverbs, we're going to encounter three losers. Three losers who desperately need wisdom. These three losers virtually are a progression in themselves. And you will see that as we work through this. The first loser is a scorner. The second loser is a fool. And the third loser is simple. The scorner, he's one who mocks at God's wisdom because he thinks it's too high for him. They won't admit this because they think they know everything. You know, I listen to talk radio a bit when I'm driving. I just like the interaction of listening to people and listening to people's thoughts. And, you know, when I think of a talk radio host that I reckon is a scorner, a loser, it would be, I shouldn't put his name here just in case I get into trouble. It'd be Darren Hinch. You know, he's always making mockery of God, mockery of Christians. Yet he comes across as somebody who thinks he knows everything. He's puffed up. He seems to think that he was there in Jesus' time and knew exactly what had happened. A scorner in the Hebrew means someone who literally is person who makes the mouth, you know, turns up their lip, curls their lip, makes a sneering face. Because they're scorners, they don't listen to reason. And for this, the Bible tells us that they're going to be judged accordingly. So that's the scorner. And you will find that the scorner ends up in destruction. The second loser is the fool. The fool is a person who's dense, sluggish, careless, self-satisfied. The fool just doesn't want to make an effort. If it comes my way, I'll do it, but if it doesn't, I'm not going to push hard. We read in Proverbs 1 that the fool hates instruction. In Proverbs 12, the fool is self-confident, full of pride. And we know that God resists the proud. The fool in Proverbs 29 talks without thinking. In fact, that's one of the things that stands out to me so much right now as I'm reading through. God challenging me, stop talking, listen a little bit. The fool mocks at sin. Now, I'm not asking you to rate yourself right now. I would hope we don't have any scorners here. I'm sure we've got some fools. And I'm sure we've got a lot more simple people. The simple are those who believe everything and everybody, but they lack discernment. They are easily led astray by others and they lack understanding. The simple can't see ahead. And as a result, they continually walk in trouble. I.e. they don't have discernment. Interesting, isn't it, that one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment. Hence, let's lean back into our life jacket of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. As you read the book of Proverbs, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you. Then there's the last category, three losers and one wise. The wise, they listen to instruction. They obey what they hear. They store up what they learn. They win others to the Lord. The wise flee from sin. The wise watch their tongue. And the wise are diligent in their daily work. What do you want to be? Do you want to be a scorner, a fool, or simple? Or do you want to be one of the wise? I know what I want to be. So as we come to a close this morning in this introduction, let me introduce to you the last two players in the book of Proverbs. The Message Bible calls them Mrs. Wisdom and Mrs. Folly, but we're going to call them Wisdom and Folly. Wisdom and Folly appear throughout Proverbs, and their job is to woo and to win the hearts of people. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus, Satan, Wisdom, Folly. Wisdom calls out, calls us to God and to life, but Folly calls us to sin and to judgment. As we go through the book of Proverbs, we will see that there are three calls that they each make. Wisdom's first call is to salvation. And you'll notice that wisdom's first call was to the three, to the scorner, to the fool, and to the simple. Wisdom's second call is to wealth. But that was only to the fool and the simple, because already the scorner has fallen away. And wisdom's third call was to life, and that was only to the simple, because the simple is still there. Folly's first call is to condemnation. This gives us an incredible insight as to how Satan works. His second call is to poverty, and Folly's third call is to death. Satan is out to steal, to kill, and destroy. Look at those three degrees. Look what happened to the scorner, the fool, and the simple. The scorner rejected wisdom, listened to folly, and received destruction, destroy. The fool rejected wisdom, listened to folly, and received death, kill. And the simple rejected wisdom, listened to folly, and ended up in hell. Had eternal life stolen from them. It's my hope that we will follow the paths of wisdom rather than being wooed by folly. In chapter 2, we will see that wisdom protects our path. In chapter 3, we'll see that wisdom directs our path. And finally, in chapter 4, if we allow, wisdom is going to perfect our path. So you can see there is an order to this book. There is a progression to this book. All about bringing us to a place of life abundant in God. So the challenge today, and I am going to leave you with a challenge, is to determine, one, that we're not going to be one of the losers. You're not going to be a scorner. You're not going to be a fool. You're not going to be a simple person. But as you read, as you meditate, as you muse on this book, as you allow it to be your devotion, that you're going to grow in wisdom. That you will attain discipline and wisdom. That you'll attain more understanding and insight. And finally, as in every time we obey the word of God, that our life will become more disciplined and more prudent. Finally, as we work our way through the book of Proverbs, I hope that we will find a greater understanding of God's word, of his parables, of his sayings, of his riddles, that we will start to appreciate just how divinely written God's word is. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this book. I thank you for the challenge. I thank you for the opportunity we have. And Lord, as we look at this whole concept of being a follower, not just a fan, as we continue to take up our cross daily, as we continue to allow that river of life to flow, that we float in that, being drawn along by the currents, that, Lord, we will be drawn along by your word as we unpack Proverbs. And Lord, as Dale continues to unpack Romans, that your word would be rich, would be real, and that we would be using it for those areas of reproof, correction, instruction in every way, shape or form. Lord, let your word not return to us void today, but let us accomplish that which you purpose. We pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.